Assalamu alaikum and peace be with you. Welcome to this episode in our series on the use, misuse and abuse of jihad in Islam, an Islamic historical and textual analysis of the contentions and misconceptions regarding the concept of jihad, the Islamic law of war and peace, and the spread of Islam. I am your host, Muhammad Nuruddin Lemu, and with me to discuss today's topics are two of our distinguished facilitators, fellows and trainers of the Da'wah Institute, Sister Salatu Suleh and Brother Nasir Beldo. You are both most welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. Today I'd like us to look at a subject that in a lot of literature is presented in Arabic as Ghazawat or Sayara, the raids, expeditions, some say battles, all sorts of words used to describe Ghazawat of the Prophet ﷺ. Some historians would say they were up to 27 Ghazawat, and these are explained as raids on caravans, expeditions, fightings, etc. This is the subject I'd like us to look at. But before we go into these are discussed more in the seerah literature. Why do some scholars recommend fully understanding a depth of the seerah of the Prophet, the biography of the battles fought and their contexts and all of that, that is critical to an understanding of the various verses of the Quran and Hadith on the topic? So before we go into each of these Ghazawat, why is seerah relevant to an understanding of the use, abuse, or misuse of the concept of jihad? Sister Salah.
Thank you for the question. The seerah is important because every event, every one of those Ghazawat happened within a context. What seerah does is give us a context, a background to whatever event we might be studying. A common saying when it comes to looking at the text of various pieces of writing or articles or treaties or laws is that text without context is pretext. Meaning, if you take words and you separate them from the context in which they were said, the context to which they apply, you would not really have a full understanding. So the seerah gives us the backdrop for all of those issues, the events, as well as for the verses and the hadith that relates to warfare and fighting. Because if you take a verse on fighting, for instance, that simply states go out and fight without understanding the background to that verse, it's very likely that one will misinterpret the verse or misapply it, which has already happened and is happening now. Another reason why seerah is important in this issue is it helps us see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions understood the verses on warfare and applied them. It helps us see how the companions understood the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his objectives, why did he take whatever actions he took, and then how they applied those. So from the seerah, we get background, we also get deeper understanding of the things that are not said, but were done. When we look at, from the Islamic perspective, the interpretation of verses of the Quran or Hadith, the scholars would usually talk about the reason for the revelation itself, or the occasion for the revelation as Bab al-Nuzul, or if it's a hadith, the occasion or the context in which the particular thing was said or done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's the asbab al-wurud. They say these, the asbab, gives you a deeper understanding and helps you know when else can you apply these verses or hadith, or how best to apply them. So if we take some of those key verses, the commonly recited or cited verses of the Quran with regard to war, which we find in Surah Al-Baqarah, we find in Surah Al-Nisa, Surah Al-Anfal, or Surah Al-Tawbah, and then we look at the Asbab al-Nuzul, we begin to get a clearer sense. For instance, we take the very first battle mentioned in the history in the Sira, the Battle of Badr, and we can connect that very easily to the verses in Surah An-Nisa, verse from around verse 74 to 78, that mentions certain things that then will help us understand what happened even before that particular battle took place. For instance, in one of the verses, Allah's words make it clear that at one time he had said, do not fight, because he makes reference to the fact that those who were told to restrain their hands and instead do zakah and do salah and give zakah, which tells us that there was a time when it was clear from Allah and the Prophet, peace be upon him, that the Muslims were not permitted to fight back, to retaliate, even when they were being persecuted. Allah then says that, and now permission has been given to them. And he refers to the fact that some of them were still reluctant. Again, gives us a clear sense of what was going on at the time. Then yet another one of those verses, Allah then mentions, and why he sort of asks, why would you not fight when it is to help those men, children, women, men who have been oppressed and who have been praying, our Lord, take us away from this oppressive place, you know, give us a way out. And Allah is, in other words, saying, here's the objective for fighting, here's the reason why. And even where Allah then mentions fight in his cause, in one verse he talks about fighting in his cause, in another verse he, you know, gives detail of what that cause is. It is to stop oppression. So looking at this, we see the objective for the fighting, we see where clear permission was given, we see that there was a time when permission was not given. In fact, they were told not to fight. Getting this understanding helps us know what do those verses indicate when we take the verses revealed at that time and we bring it to our current time. When can we say, oh, but the verse says, let us do, or the verse says, therefore, we should not do X, Y, Z. And then we can connect it back to how the Prophet, peace be upon him, understood and applies these verses.
So what you're saying here is that we do have verses of the Quran that don't give us the full context. The Quran just gives the part of the message that is relevant to humanity and history.
Yeah.
Or as we move into the future. And when a verse says something about the Battle of Badr, and you want to know, okay, what was the justification for this sentence or this verse? The context may not give you the details, it could, but to get a fuller appreciation of the details, it's to look into the Sira literature.
Yeah, and see what was happening.
Yeah, what was happening before the battle, and that makes it clear the nature. Was it offensive or defensive? Yeah. Who was provoked? Mala Nasir, what would you add to this?
I think, just like you rightly mentioned, understanding the context within which some things happen in our history and how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam work in trying to implement some of the verses of the Quran helps a lot to clarify some of the misconceptions that ordinarily you will see people having in just looking at the Quran. You would see companions or even their student much later will always be saying, this particular verse was revealed when so-so thing happened. It was when Prophet was in this situation, or when the companions were doing this and that, certain verse was revealed. If you look at the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, and other tafsir, other books of, you know, commentary of the Quran, you would find that Ibn Kathir will mention that the early verses of Surah Tawbah were revealed after the Battle of Tabuk, after the Ghazwa of Tabuk, although the battle didn't happen. So I don't know whether we can still call it a battle. And they will equally see the verse.
But I think that's part of the thing, that because there was an outing preparing to fight Tabuk, but there was no enemy to fight, it was still called Ghazwa.
Yes.
And translated as battle. Yeah. Even though there was no battle.
There was no battle. The fighting didn't happen.
And if we were just to take the wording, we would conclude there was a battle. There were victims on this side and somebody was killed.
Absolutely.
And studying the Sira helps us understand that in some of these outings, these Saraya or these Ghazawat, we translate them as battles. But what you are saying is the Sira helps us know, you know, where did things get lost in translation?
Absolutely, absolutely. And also, if you look at the verse 38 of Surah At-Tawbah, Ibn Kathir mentioned that it was revealed before the battle of, you know, Tabuk, when companions just returned from the battle of, you know, from Hunain, they were tired. Because the verse, if you look at it, إِلَّا تَنْفِرُوا يُعَذِّبُكُمُ اللَّهُ عَذَابًا عَلِيمًا وَيَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ وَلَا تَضُرُّهُ شَيْئًا وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. That if you didn't come out, if you didn't come out for the battle, Allah will punish you severely and He will change you with others and it will not bother Him. Allah is capable of doing that. The verse before that was actually a motivation. The verse before that particular one, مَا لَكُمْ إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ مُنْفِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثَاقَلْتُمْ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ أَرَضِيتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ فَمَا مَتَاءُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Motivating them, and then this one followed. So it was actually to encourage them. They were tired, they were weak, and another expedition is, you know, before them, is ahead of them. So it's like trying to remind them of the purpose of what they do. So if you understand when it happened, then you'll be able to appreciate what actually is the meaning of a verse of the Quran. Audio scholars will also see verses of the entire Surah Al-Fath was revealed between the journey from Mecca to Medina regarding the issue of, you know, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. So these are things that if you look at the historical context, you better understand clearly how these verses works and what are their meanings and implication. And it helps in clarifying a lot of misconceptions around Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions in the way they behave and conducted themselves around these particular issues. What this tells us is, despite all these verses that we read about, you know, jihad, about qital, about context, conquest, we still see in history that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has, you know, lived physically, and his companions, of course, with people of other faith, with people that are not hostile, they are not fighting Muslims, with non-Muslims or people of other faith that, you know, have a treaty with Muslims. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived peacefully with them. And that also will now tell us, or will now make a case for us to dig deeper and try to understand specific, you know, ghazawat or expeditions that were attributed or associated with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the mind, with the view to understand why they happen, what are the things around them, and that you can only get from authentic history. And that was why some of the scholars that studied this carefully will always argue that the whole idea of engagement and expedition and ghazawat and all that, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried out or conducted, none of them was actually initiated to conquer, to be hostile, to raid people of other faith or any other person. They were actually a defense against something, as we are going to see. When we look at this, some of the scholars that talked about this particular issue are like Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, his student Ibn al-Qayyim, in Hidayah al-Hidayah of his book, that is Ibn al-Qayyim. Allahu alam.
Jazakallahu khairan. Salah, what would you add? From what we are hearing, you know, we have verses of the Quran that say go out, hadith that say fight, and what we're hearing is, it's when you get the details, you get to know whether there was even a fight or not. Why was there supposed to be a fight? Why did they go out? Was it even to do with fighting? Before we go into specifics on this issues to do with the Saraya and the Ghazawat, what would you add to the importance of Sira?
I think just one more word on this question of Sira and its relationship to the entire subject is that however one might interpret a verse or a hadith or read it, or however people have interpreted these verses or hadith, there is nothing to support the idea that it's okay or that any verse or any hadith is actually advocating that it's okay for Muslims to attack someone unprovoked or attack or fight against people who are actually not combatants. That is very, very clear. It's unequivocally stated again and again in various ways. One other thing is that the purpose of this discussion and the purpose or the benefit of exploring Syria much more deeply and carefully is so that one understands those aspects of Syria that have been misinterpreted, and one can correctly say, all right, this particular part of Syria or this particular event happened in this context. So it's about understanding the context as well of whatever was going on and matching verses to events to context properly.
So I'd like us to move on to more specifics. The biographers and those who wrote about the Sira have recorded generally an agreed number of about 27 Ghazawat. Some have put more than that, that the Prophet ﷺ was engaged in. Some have explained these to be raids, to be expeditions, to be battles. What exactly is the meaning of this term? What exactly happened from the Sira? So, you know, somebody, as we gave the example, some say the Prophet went out for a battle and it's called a battle. It's just that when you start looking at the details, you say, but there was no battle. What do we mean by Ghazawat when we look at the Sira?
Well, I think the concept Ghazwa or Ghazwat is one of the misunderstood concepts in our history. Usually, it is assumed to be raiding, looting, opportunistic fighting, trying to initiate fight against other people to conquer them and to control them and all that.
Which was probably
and even looting.
How it was during Jahiliyyah.
Exactly, because there was not any order there. So that was the thinking when the word Ghazwa, which is the singular form, and Ghazawat, which is the plural, mentioned. Or Saraya, or Saria. Saria is the singular, and Saraya is the plural. These are really misunderstood. And therefore, the meaning that is associated with these words and this concept in the Jahiliyyah period is now smuggled into interpreting what actually happened during the time of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But if you carefully look at the history, what is Muhammad Sayyid Tantawi said in his book Sariya, Al-Harbiya fi Ahdi Nabawi, that is talking about that, you know, outing during the time of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They said everything to do with maybe a delegation or sending a mission that Rasul, a delegation sending people for an errand, maybe doing da'wah work, or trying to go and do some, you know, intelligence work, or trying to gather information about the Quraysh or about it. These are things that are actually defined as Sariya. So sometimes Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will delegate a group, 5 people, 10 people, to go and get some information about certain things. It is called Sariya. Sometimes it will be going out for a battle. They call it Sariya. Basically, any outing which Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not part of is what they call Sariya. And that which Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is part of or participate in, whether it is a battle really, or it is an outing that does not end up in a battle like the case of Tabuk, or he went out for, you know, the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, sometimes they will call it also Ghazwa. This Ghazwa connotes that Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is part of the team, is part of the, you know, delegation that represent the Muslim Ummah in participating in that. So when they say 27, or even more, you would always, if you look at the book of, you know, Sira, you will see a lot of, you know, difference when it comes opinion when it comes to even the numbering. How many did Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam participated? The assumption is that these are battles, these are, you know, conquests that Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was part of. But careful look, like I mentioned at the beginning, of the word or the concept ghazwa and sariya will clearly explain that it's much more than that. It's about mission for da'wah, it's about delegation for a meeting, it's about some, you know, information or intelligence gathering.
So when others went and the Prophet didn't go, those were the saraya.
Yeah.
When the Prophet was part of it, those were the ghazawat.
Ghazawat.
But as you are saying, it's when the word ghazawat or saraya are used, during Jahiliyyah, it used to be, for the Arabs, a cultural practice of raids. But, and various other reasons why they would go out. When it comes to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and these saraya take place, or ghazawat take place, many then translate these as all battles or raids without looking carefully at each one to find what exactly happened. Were these actually raids, or what exactly was their nature? Salah, what would you add here?
The biographers, when they were narrating these events, they were really just outlining the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him. They didn't have an objective of trying to explain why he went out on a particular occasion. So they did not always, or, you know, they didn't pay attention or bring to the surface the objectives of these outings. They were just going chronologically. This happened, and then that happened, and then that happened. So this takes us back to what we said earlier. It's important to carefully look at these particular events. That's one. Secondly, because they were simply mentioning or, you know, chronicling the outings of the Prophet, peace be upon him, they then came up with quite a large number of such outings, all being called ghazawat. So they had things like the actual battles. They had some that were not battles, quite the opposite, in fact. They were outings with the intention or the objective of concluding a peace treaty. Some were outings to spread the message of Islam. So they were da'wah outings. Others were more maybe hearing that some group has attacked some people or is planning to. They were more scouting expeditions to go and see what's actually going on. Some were similar to what we would call border patrol today, checking, you know, the edges of the city to see what's going on and to offer security. So they weren't always intended to be battles. But they all came under that heading anyway, ghazawat, which then leads people to conclude that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam participated in 27 ghazawat or 35 ghazawat or 32 or 40 something. Again, the variation in number comes from the different biographers putting together different kinds of outings and expeditions, some classifying them in certain ways that would make the number rise and fall. But they weren't all battles.
So a big misconception here is to equate ghazwa with fighting.
Yes.
To assume that the way ghazawat were done in Jahiliyyah, just because the same word is used during the time of Islam, it just assumes, therefore, that these were also raiding innocent caravans.
Yes.
And what I hope we will do in the next episode is to go more slowly through these individual ghazawat and see the real nature and what exactly happened, just so as to, you know, clarify what was the reality of the seerah and the statements made by Ibn Qayyim, Ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Afifi, a number of scholars who have carefully, Tantawi, both classical and modern scholars, who have carefully gone through every single outing, engagement the Prophet had, and have concluded none were offensive. All the battles at the time of the Prophet were defensive against hostile others. Malan Nasir, what would you add to this?
Another very important point is raised by one of the leading scholars on this subject, Ahmad Dawoodi, is the anomaly when it comes to how biographers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam usually, you know, approach the whole idea of seerah. He said, instead of trying to ask what really happened during the time of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to have a better understanding and to have a better appreciation of the context and the thinking around that, usually what you find is them trying to look at what was reported about the situation or the incident. And that provide a gap which often, you know, they imagine when it comes to analysis, and they miss out when it comes to appreciating the relevance of context. Sometimes they project, they use what he calls 21st century mind to be able to analyze and project incident that happened during the time of, you know, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that often provides information that is not really accurate because it comes with a lot of imagination. And over time, you would find some of the imagined, you know, situations becoming like the norm. So this is one of the anomalies highlighted. Again, on this issue of Ghazawat, scholars would say during the time of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even early biographers looked at Ghazwa from a very broad perspective. It covers pilgrimage, it covers battles, it covers peace treaties, and many other things. But later scholars seem to narrow the interpretation or the meaning of the word, and they attribute it to looting, opportunistic, you know, fighting and all that. So these are some of the mistakes. Until you are able to understand the concept within, you know, the meaning that what I was actually provided by early historians, and within the reality of what transpired, then you will always conclude just the way some of them are concluding, that Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually was hostile, he was aggressive, he was, you know, he initiated battles and what have you.
So what we gather, firstly, I think the need to recognize that scholars of hadith were usually very concerned about authenticity and less imaginative in filling in the gaps than scholars of seerah, who many hadith scholars would actually question the integrity of some of these. But where there's corroboration and there's agreement, there are those aspects of the seerah that definitely are authentic. But as you said, many of them were not studying these with a 21st century mind of trying to find out, why was this battle? Why was this ghazwa? Why was this community attacked? Many were just narrating what happened without caring about the importance of why. And so unless you dig looking for the why and looking for, wait, what was the relationship like before this battle happened? If we look at Banu Mustalik, you know, all you find in the hadith is, and there was a night attack and Banu Mustalik were attacked by the Prophet and his companions. But why were they attacked? It's when you go into the seerah of what has Banu Mustalik done in the past, with, you know, in regard to Khandaq, other things where they had already been provocative, where were they going? You know, they had left their settlement on their way to attack Medina. So unless that, and that is not in the hadith, that is when you study this particular group of Banu Mustalik and see what was the kind of engagement like, you know, where did things reach before they were attacked, allows us to understand the nature of that ghazwa. And unfortunately, some of the scholars of biography just leave that out. And so unless you go looking for it in this one and in that other person's biography, sometimes one of them doesn't tell you the whole story. But I think what this underscores, and both of you have explained this adequately, is text without context leads to pretext. You will have to start imagining and assuming, and unfortunately some people have done that. They have taken the text of hadith, they've taken text of Quran without looking at the context. And so when people say this verse of the Quran is dealing with the Battle of Badr, some have not really cared to study what happened, not just at the Battle of Badr, but more importantly, what happened before, what justified it. And the same thing with all the other battles. And I hope, inshallah, in the subsequent episodes, we would look more carefully at each of these ghazawat, each of these outings, and find out which of them were battles, which of them were just outings for da'wah and propagating Islam, for initiating or settling treaties. Some of the ghazawa were described, you know, pilgrimage described as a ghazawa, as we will come to see. And if there were battles, to try and understand the context of each of these battles, inshallah. Thank you so much for your contributions, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala.